Thank you, Lily, for the special. Karen for playing. Thank the ladies for the music. It's been good, and God's been good. Have your Bible turn to Matthew 14. Find verse 22. Verse 22. Contrary winds, they come into our life. Contrary means against us, opposite of what we want to do, opposite of the direction that we were going. And sometimes they're light, sometimes they're not too light, sometimes they're pretty strong, and sometimes they capsize the boat we're in and ground us for a while. We say, man, what's going on here? They are prominent in certain areas, more so than in others, like the Sea of Galilee, where the wind comes down off the mountains. They have them a lot. But this is not normal that they're experiencing in this passage of Scripture. Let's read it. And straightway, Jesus constrained. In other words, he made them get in a boat. His disciples get in a ship and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went in to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to Jesus. And when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" When they were come into the boat, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship or boat came to worship him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." I'm going to read that 33rd verse because that's the key verse to the whole story. Then they that were in the boat or ship came and worshiped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Pray with me. Father, I pray that as we pause to look at this morning, this passage of Scripture, you would open it to our understanding. And Father, I pray that you would help us be drawn closer to you because we have studied it and praised you and worshiped together as your people today. Be with the hearts that are hurting and the lives that are hurting. And Father, we thank you for all the freedom we have because others have given their life for that freedom. Families have lived with the loss of this loved one. And Father, they paid a price too. Help us in this country be thankful for the path that they take to give us what we have today. And now, Father, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Winds are going to blow. They just are. They're going to be in our path. Now, sometimes they come our way because of choices we make. We make some bad choices. I was wanting to say dumb choices, but they are kind of dumb sometimes. And we have to live with the consequences of that choice. And it's not always good. It brings a contrary wind into our life. And then there are those times when Satan tries to sidetrack us from doing what God asks us to do. And he brings contrary winds into our life through temptation and struggles and trials. The Apostle Paul said, we have an enemy that we fight against. You know, he's the prince and power of the air. It's not people that are against us, it's the enemy. He uses them. They sit in high places, they sit in low places, they sit in between places, but they're around us. And then there are those contrary winds that God brings into our life so that he might draw us closer to him, that we might understand more about him. And so we have these in our life. And not everybody has the same type of wind that's contrary to the path they're taking. David said, cast yourself upon the Lord. That means roll over on him. Rest on him. Stay on him. Be there. Peter said, cast your cares, your life into Christ when things go wrong. Be there and do that. So you and I need to understand that we need to allow God to work in our lives. There's things we're going to look at here in this passage. And one of the things that's absolutely of great importance is that 33rd verse. You and I, first of all, need to stop focusing on the wind and the circumstances and focus on Jesus. When you're facing a contrary wind, you need to focus on Jesus. I put this little timer out here. Last week, I put it out there. They don't even want to show up today. And I forgot to start it. So when the timer goes off, we're going to wind it up pretty quick. Just bear with me. Got to try to teach this old dog new tricks, okay? When you and I face difficult winds and we face challenging circumstances, we need to stop focusing on the circumstance and focus on ourselves. If you'll look what happened in verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee. In 29, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. And in verse 30, but when he saw the wind, being the contrary wind, the boisterous wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Now, there's something going on here that's unreal. First of all, it is a powerful, powerful wind. The ship The waves, I mean, everything's just going crazy. These are fishermen. They got, you know, they're like Bill. They're used to that. Didn't bother him. Might scare the living daylights out of me, but he'd be calm. On the outside, anyway. They've worried. They're fighting it. They're trying to get to the other side, but the wind is preventing them, and the waves are tremendous. And lo and behold, here comes Jesus walking on the water. How in the world are you going to walk on white caps? How are you going to walk on glass-looking water to start with? And he's walking and the wind's not even bothering him. I bet his hair wasn't even blowing. Everything around him was calm. I think the water was calm where he stepped. It just like glass. He walking. And they look and they see. Now it's dark. It's not noontime. It's dark. And every time I've been in a storm at night, it's darker than normal. The moon don't shine, the stars don't shine, and there's no illumination except from a flashlight or a car light or something you've got. It's dark. And they see this person, this thing, this spirit, this aborigine walking on the water. I think it was a kind of glory walking across that water. And they're crying out. They're scared more now. Things are bad, but look, here's a ghost coming after us. Give me the heebie-jeebies. I'm out of here. But there's no place to go. And he says, hey, don't worry, it's me. I recognize his voice and everything. Peter said, now if it's really you, Lord, tell me to come walk to you on the water. Things are bad. White caps, turbulence. Jesus said, come on. So Peter gets out of the boat and starts toward Jesus. And folks, he's walking on water. There is no other incident of a disciple walking on water but Peter. And I've heard people say, just get all over him because he started looking at the water and looking at stuff and started sinking. He got out of the boat. Most people never get out of the boat. They just sit there in the boat and whine. He got out of the boat. You got to get out of the boat if you're going to Jesus in the middle of your circumstances that are bad. When the wind's blowing contrary to you and helping prevent you from doing what you're supposed to be doing or going in the direction you're going, you got to get out of the boat. Walk to Jesus. Peter got out of the boat. And he's looking at Jesus, and everything's fine until he starts looking at the circumstances in which he is. And he's in the middle of a raging Sea of Galilee. At night, it's dark. And I'll bet you his hair is blowing. And he starts sinking. And if you focus on your circumstances, I promise you, you'll start sinking. When you focus on things that are contrary to your life, you sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And the Bible says Jesus reached out and took his hand. Now, he must have been really close to the boat. We don't know how far Peter walked, but he had to be close. You're a child of God, a disciple. You're in the midst of a contrary wind, and the circumstances are about to get the best of you. I promise you, Jesus is right there with you. He's close. Call to him. But if you don't call to him, you'll never know how close he is. Anyway, Peter, how come you're not believing in me? How come you don't have faith in what I said? I said, come. Not only that, I originally told you to go to the other side. And if I told you to go to the other side, you're going to the other side. You understand that? Two different times he told them to go in the Bible, and there's two different storms that they encounter. One time he's in the bow of the boat, the next time he's walking on water, but both times he said, make it to the other side. And if Jesus said, make it to the other side, you're going to make it. Nothing's going to stop you. Nothing's going to be against his will. You may lose your life in the process, but you're going to make it because it's God's will. The circumstances will not take you away from Jesus if you focus on him. Peter, why didn't you believe me? Why didn't you think? I hate texts from things that I don't do or don't want. Why does circumstances grab our attention to the place we do not focus on Jesus? Why? We allow them. The key to victory in any area is focusing on Jesus. Job faced a few contrary winds, did he not, in his life? He said, though he slay me, I'm going to serve him. Though he take my life, I'm going to worship him. Though everything comes against me, I'm going to follow him, period. Second thing you need to do is to commit your doubt to God. Now, we all have moments of doubt. Don't tell me I never doubt. I'll not buy a used car from you if you do. Don't tell me. Everybody at some point in time in their life has some kind of doubt in their relationship with Jesus. Some more than others, but there's a little window of doubt. Commit that to Jesus. Lord, I'm having trouble believing you here. Help my unbelief. He will. You can trust him. He's never failed yet. One person. Third, claim your position in Christ. Oh, I love this. You're the child of God. You belong to him. You're his brother in Christ. You're his disciple. He's your master. He's your savior. He's your redeemer. He's your friend. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And 13 says, those that are born not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. You and I have been born again by the power of God, and we've been brought into the family of God, and nothing can take us out of the family of God. I'm telling you, I don't know what your circumstances are about your birth and about your family, but I'm here to tell you, nothing can change those circumstantial moments when you were conceived and you were born. Can't be undone. And won't once you're birthed into the family of God, it cannot be undone. You're his child. The child hurt themselves. Our kids either cut their finger or hit it with a hammer or got hurt outside. They come running into the house. Now, the first place they went was to Mama if she was there. Mama, Mama, Mama! But if she wasn't there, Daddy would do in a pinch. I could kiss it all day long, that finger. Put a Band-Aid on it. Mama come home first thing. Mama, I cut my finger, Mama! Well, don't kiss that thing. It's healed. No, Mama had to kiss it again. Pat him on the back. It'll be okay. Went off plan like nothing happened. I'm telling you, that's how Jesus takes care of us. If we'll cast our care onto him, our unbelief. Claim that position, no matter what the circumstances are. No matter how the wind blows, he'll take care of you. Because he loves you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends. I mean, that's the greatest love there is. The greatest love. If someone came through the door with a rifle, and there was somebody sitting in the pew they were mad at, and they said, I'm going to kill them. I said, time out. And I walked down there, and I said, let you and me step outside, and I'm going to take their place. You can kill me. And we step outside, and he shoots me and goes on. Whoever he claimed that he was going to kill would never forget the fact that I took their place. Don't forget Jesus took your place on the cross. Isaiah says, by his stripes we are healed. Every time that cat of nine tails with something embedded in the end of it hit the body, a piece of flesh flew. Blood splattered everywhere. They ripped him back to shreds. I'm sure some of the bones in his ribs were showing. Those cat of nine tails cut like razors. By his stripes, we are healed. By his blood that was shed on the cross, you and I have life everlasting. Fourth, when the dark clouds appear, call on Jesus. You may see a storm coming. Oh, this is not going to be good. Call on Jesus. You might see some circumstances headed your way. That's okay. Call on Jesus. If you call upon him, he will get in front of you, between you and the storm. He will defend you. He will help you. He will overshadow you. I've shared with you about the chicken prairie. The prairie chicken. I was thinking I was close to the prairie and used to go prairie hunting. And me and I, never mind. When storms come, she would raise her wings and fluff herself up. And the little chicks would run underneath her and she would sit down on top of them. And during the prairie fires, she would be sitting there. And if you kicked her over, you probably had little prairie chickens, babies, running out from under her that never were hurt. And Jesus will spread his great wings over you. And he will be there for you in the midst of that dark storm. You got to put your faith totally and completely in Jesus. Now, all these things happened to the disciples for one reason. Verse 33, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. He's been a redeemer, a leader, a rabbi, a Messiah, but they have not comprehended his nature. And it takes them a long time for it to sink in. I mean, even when they got to the transfiguration, the three disciples, it still hadn't sunk into them and really gripped and grabbed their life. And they faced storms along the way, and after he ascended to heaven, there were more. Sometimes God sends a storm into your life so that you will walk with him and grow closer to him and understand who he really is. The person in the boat was God. It wasn't a man. It was God. Above all else, it was God. They had been seeing Jesus as the man, not as God. Truly, thou art the Son of God. I remember one time, there's a story about Jesus, and he healed somebody and said, that person, your sins be forgiven. And the scribes and Pharisees got all bent out of shape, man. They said, who can forgive sins but God? Look at this guy sitting there. Who does he think he is? He was God sitting in their midst, and they missed it. And sometimes, even though we put our faith and trust in him as Lord and Savior, we miss his activity in our life. He is always working in our life. He's always around us. He didn't save us and turn us loose to do whatever we want to do. He is there for us. And I've had some storms that I know Satan stirred up. And I've caused 100 of storms or more for myself because I made stupid choices. But there have been a few storms God sent into my life to draw me closer to him, to open my eyes and open my heart and help me understand more about him. He is God. And there is no other. No other. When he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He loves us. He cares. He knows. He knows the storm you're facing. Whether he sent it, Satan sent it, or you caused it. He knows. And he knows how to take care of that storm. And he knows how to help you walk through it or take it away from you. He knows. And I'm one of these kind of persons, I want to fix it. You know, if it's broken, I'm going to try to fix it. Get out the welder and torch. Get after it, man. Do something. If you buy some of this funky stuff they got on television and advertise, but it don't fix stuff too good sometimes. That's why they sell it real cheap at Walmart. They're $7 billion people, so I don't have any sympathy for them. But anyway, he knows and he cares. and he wants you to call upon him. But you're going to have to get out of the boat. You can't sit in a boat, twiddle your thumbs and say, Lord, come and help me. I'm struggling here. Get out of the boat. Security is still in the boat. When you get out of the boat, you're on your own walking on the water. But not totally, because he's right there. He's right there. Let's pray. Father, you know our hearts. Lord, you know the struggle we face. You know the trials we face. You know the difficulties that we all face. The just amount of storms that come our way. Sometimes we cause them. Sometimes Satan causes them. And sometimes you send them to us to say, I want you to understand who I am. You need to grow in your faith a little bit. Father, we are family, and we need to help each other in the storm of life by prayer and by love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.